KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, boys and girls. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's me, Ara. You might notice that Alon's not talking. As much as I would like to have said that I've roped him off in the corner and permanently put him there, no, he's just on vacation. So, it's the Ara show again. It's all me all the time. Actually, it's all me about half the time because I have a special guest here. And that's none other than...
Danny B!
Yes, Danny B. So, I'm the game designer. He's the music... guy. That's right. He does that all the time. So, actually, the first time I've ever heard him do that.
That's what I specialize in.
Yeah. So, and we talk about games too. So that's what we're going to do all hour long. The phone number is 866-536-1100. So if you feel like calling and chatting, maybe you have a question about game design or game music or the
TARP.
Or that. I don't know what that is, but. Yeah.
Troubled Asset Relief Program.
Okay, sure. Yes. And it's, you know what? It's open lines tonight. So call about whatever. Maybe,
except for Irish people.
Maybe, okay, Irish people don't call. You can take that up with Danny after the show. I'll dispense the address where you can find him on the air. Let's just get right into it.
Let's do this.
Okay, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because... it's not really deserving of a lot of time, but I'm on this mailing list. I'm on a bunch of mailing lists, and I get these advertisements, these kind of like PR promotional things for a bunch of different stuff, and one of them is Monster Cables, and I hate Monster Cables.
Mm-hmm.
And you might ask, Ara, why do you hate Monster Cable? They're so high quality. They're so expensive, right? I think I saw like an HDMI cable that they sell for like $150, or might even have been more than that. And this just makes me angry more than almost anything else in the world.
Is it studded with diamonds?
It should be, but it's not. And I wouldn't have even brought this up if it were not for the fact that I get this, you know, promotional thing in my email, and I'm just going to read to you what it says, and maybe you can share in the rage with me. But here's their little PR spiel, right? Talking about their HDMI cables. Giving the gift of great picture quality and sound this holiday, don't forget the cable. No, we can't forget the cable. It's really important. Forget to supply a quality HDMI cable with that high-def flat screen, and HD quickly becomes a huge disappointment. Get it? HD? There's nothing worse than hearing, quote, "Man, that sucks," right after someone opens your gift and finds out they can't use it correctly. So don't let those three words define your gift in game experience. Okay, so that's why you should buy their $170, $150,
because your family's
cable.
Ungrateful and they say, "Man, that sucks," when they buy you a TV.
Yeah, so so that's yet another reason why. Look, guys. If you want to buy an HDMI cable, just go to like Fry's Electronics or somewhere.
$3.
$3 you can get one in. If you're
it's digital. It's not like analog where you have to preserve the integrity of the signal.
Right.
It's digital. It works or it doesn't.
So I've actually, I was not able to find one for $3. The cheapest I found one for was like $8. Okay. But this is compared to a brand that sells them at $50, $150 plus whatever. Insane. And I just think that's. The nice way to say that is that's just usurious at best. It's just crazy. Why are you giving these people your money? Why are you letting them continue this? They're raping you. Do you
perceived
guys understand?
Value.
I guess, but you never even see the cable, right? Like, I can understand things where, like, you know, you can, it's bling, you can show it off, other people get to see it. Nobody gets to see your cable. Nobody. Why do you, the only
reason.
Do you
want to see my cable?
No. But that was a good one. I don't understand this. I have to harp on this because the only reason why they continue to do this is because people are buying them.
Mm-hmm.
People are buying them and supporting them, and most of the people don't even know what Danny just said, which is it doesn't effing matter which one you get.
The ones and the zeros are not going to be any higher quality when they're sent through digitally.
Yeah, so please, please, please help us help you from being raped by Monster Cable and just buy something reasonable, okay? All right, enough. See, take this. Look at this. Okay.
This isn't the greenest show you've ever done.
That's right. That's
because you just lit it on fire, too.
That's okay. That's what we're going to do with the next one. All right. So let's see. You know what? We've got a call. I'm just going to take this call because I don't like making people wait.
Is it
wait.
A lady?
I wish it was a lady, but it's not a lady. But maybe Joe can do a lady-like impression, and hopefully not. Anyway, Joe from Pittsburgh is on the line. Can we get Joe?
Hey, what's up, Ara?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Not much. Happy holidays to you guys.
All right, same to you.
It's Happy Hanukkah. Why can't people just say Happy Hanukkah?
Why can't people just
what
say
is
Happy...
this country coming to?
Why can't you just say Happy Kwanzaa? I mean, like, why are you denying my Kwanzaa?
Happy whatever you like to celebrate.
Stop oppressing the powerless Christian minority in this country.
That's right. Okay, so did you have anything specific going on, Joe, or did you just wanted to just hang on and chat?
I had when you were talking about the monster, I got a funny little monster story.
Yeah, oh, that's right, because actually, do we want to reveal anything about what you do, or do we want it to keep it under wraps?
I work in a little industry where I sell video, TVs, cables, and all that good stuff.
Okay,
including a certain brand you just mentioned.
Okay, so let's keep it at that. But actually, yeah, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this because, because you're selling the things, right?
Absolutely.
So let's hear it. What do you got for us?
Okay, so I've seen some, I've been going to, vendor shows, and a lot of the vendors there tell us about all their product and such, and Monster's one of them. And I've always been pretty skeptical, just by looking at it. I've never seen a big difference in the picture quality. But
you mean because there's no picture difference in the picture quality?
There is. I would say there's a very slim difference. I don't think it's a $170 difference. I certainly don't think your TV looks compromised using a regular HDMI cable.
Certainly nobody's saying, man, that sucks.
Yeah, when you see, they see, this video of the demonstration of with the picture with their cable and the picture with the other cable, right?
Okay.
They show the picture with their cable, and it's just glistening, it's bright, it's vivid. And I'm like, okay. And then, here's the cable, the picture when you're watching 1080p with, the other cable. And all of a sudden, the picture has all these pink lines in it and all this stuff. And I was like, I have never seen this before in my life.
That's is that even legal? I mean, honestly, are they allowed to do that? Isn't that
I don't know. I just said to the vendor guys, I was like, I've never seen that before. I was like, maybe if you cut, the cable in half or something and it's dangling by a thread, I said, yeah, it might look like that then. I was just like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I submerged my cable in bleach, big deal.
Maybe did they have like behind the TV rats chewing on the other cable?
Maybe, man. It didn't have two TVs hooked up. They were just giving a video demonstration. So you were just watching a video clip.
Yeah, this cable has been insulated with rat cartilage.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah. And then they go into all this stuff. And then their cables can transfer 16 gigs a second. And I'm like, there's nothing that even remotely
needs. Yeah, this is what I don't understand, because the one of the even more egregious things is that they even have different levels of prices of the same cable, and one of them's regular, and then one of them's high speed, and I'm just like, what? What's what is this? What? My signal is too fast for the other cable. What's going on here? Seriously?
They try to tell you that your cable, if it's one of those cheap ones, it's not going to be able to handle 120 hertz and all this stuff, and I'm just like, no. I just laugh every time I see them.
Yeah, it's just there's I don't know. I personally like to say that I have a strong sense of justice in the world, and actually it doesn't even matter where it is. I have a strong sense of justice about things, and I hate it when people are lied to and ripped off. And this is just I can't believe this thing has legs, honestly.
I think the biggest reason why it keeps going is that there's that thing in any kind of product where you will pay more for a product and you kind of know it's just like kind of like Apple. Like I just bought, I just bought the 30-inch Apple display, and there are other 30-inch displays out there that I know are have very similar capabilities and all that kind of stuff. But when it came down to it, it was kind of like, well, am I really gonna save a couple $100 by getting a product that won't be like the best? You know what I mean?
Right, but there's other things you can enjoy with the display.
What I'm saying is that with something like an HDMI cable, there's nowhere near the value added in paying $170 or whatever you're saying for HDMI cable. And it just seems like they took that, you know, I can understand how people want to just buy the best stuff because, like, if you have the resources, why not?
Right.
Why? Because I'm sure Monster Cables are very good products. It's just the price is what's at issue. And so, you know, they seem to have taken that because when they first came out, it wasn't that crazy. You know, I remember when Monsters first came out, it was like a regular cable was like $20, a Monster was like $40.
No, they're analog cables.
Okay, so
like,
a little more.
Yeah.
A little more, you know, if it's an analog connection, a gold connector, you know you're getting a quality product.
And I
good.
Did, and
but
I did buy
those,
just
took it to
actually.
This crazy extreme.
Yeah, it's too much.
And, I mean, they are preying on ignorant people, but, hey, that's capitalism. Wow!
Yeah. I mean, like, you know what? If you want to do that, you can go do that and, you know, advertise it for what it is, though. Don't deceive people. You know, don't put up the pink screen that nobody ever sees because you want to convince someone that the image quality is actually noticeably better.
And the markup on those is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I hate to see this propagating. I hate to see it. So yes, I'm taking advantage of my microphone. Anyway, hey Norm, can we have like a two calls in at the same time? Let's have Scott on too, so we can take his call before the break. What's up, Scott? How you doing? Hello, Scott.
He's very quiet.
You have 5 seconds, Scott. Okay, that's it. Try again later if you wake up or something like that. Okay, anyway.
Failure on the radio.
Yes. So we got about a couple minutes left. Let's talk about this 911 thing. Let's see. Is Joe still with us or is he gone too?
I'm here.
Okay, good times.
Hi.
All right, so there was an article in the Boston Herald. It was called The 911 on Video Game Obsession. And it was a report about basically some mom who called 911 because his 14-year-old woke up at 2:30 a.m. She woke up at 2:30 a.m. to observe his 14-year-old playing video games, and she ostensibly could not stop him or something. Reports are actually conflicting, and she called the police in order to resolve this dispute. And there's a couple criticisms I want to make here, and they're actually both on the Boston Herald. Like, one of them is that on their article, they call video games video. Okay? Like, 3 times in the article.
What's wrong with being concise?
Well, at least they're consistent. Right? Like, Grand Theft Auto, an exceedingly violent video. Okay, so, I mean, like, this is just, like, reminds me of, like, how, like, my grandma called,
you mean you
like,
don't have GTA on Betamax?
Games tapes, yeah. Can I go over and play your tapes? Anyway, we ran out of time. We'll come back. We'll talk about it again. We'll be back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio once again. If you'd like to call in, 866-536-1100. And I got to mention our sponsor, it's UAT. If you want to go to school and learn about video games, go to uat.edu. All right, let's finish this little snippet we're working on, and then we'll get back to our callers. Okay, so Boston Herald, right? So they don't like calling video games, they like calling them videos. So that's kind of funny, that's kind of quirky, right? But the other thing I wanted to complain about is just the tone of this article, which I'll read a little quote from in a minute, which just basically seems to convey that keeping kids from playing video games is somehow this insurmountable task, if you're a parent, if that's what you want to do.
Step one, Bugs Bunny's crazy castle. Step two, genocide.
Yeah, there you go. So the media does this all the time. It's vexing at best. Let me just read to you a little paragraph here. So the mother who called 911, her name is Magia. Let's say Magia. Magia is among thousands of parents struggling with today's video game obsessed youth. The Entertainment Software Association reports the popularity of video games is skyrocketing, with 42% of adults intending to give or hoping to find one in their Christmas stocking this week. Okay, anyway, yeah. I mean, just like the whole like characterization of like parents struggling with today's video game obsessed youth. Like, when is this a struggle? Like, really? Like, let's assume that video games are evil and will destroy youth. Just for sake of discussion.
Good assumption.
It's hard to fathom. I know it's hard for you to stomach, Danny, but
have you seen my stomach?
I have, actually. Enough of it.
The part that's not eclipsing the sun. Hey-o!
Anyway, you're pretty good at disrupting my train of thought. I have to give you that. So let's assume that that's the case, right? It's like, I don't understand. Why can't the parent just take the product away? When has this ever been like a cataclysmic thing in like parenting throughout the ages?
It's never surprising to me how many things people will blame before they'll blame the parents.
Yeah, I mean the funny thing is,
it was Dungeons and Dragons,
right?
It was books, it was you name it, comic books.
It happens over
rock and roll, Elvis gyrating his pelvis. That's the end of civilization, yeah. Not, you know, parents leaving their kids in front of, you know, you're not supposed to raise your kids with a TV. I mean, it's not the TV's fault that you use it to raise your kids.
Right, or that you don't do anything and let them do whatever they want. Anyway, okay, so we've kind of, I think, just killed that one. Joe and Scott, you guys still on? Who's on?
I'm here.
Hello.
Okay, Scott, let's talk to you for a little bit.
Okay.
What do you got for us, Scott?
One more thing on the Monster Cable thing. I found, well, I knew about one of the easiest to disprove comments that they have. There's this one cable they have called the fiber optic optical cable,
okay,
which is used for 7.1 surround, and you basically shine a little red laser beam through a fiber optic cable, and that is encodes using a little blink system.
Toslink, right? You're talking about Toslink light pipe, that kind of
thing. Fiber optic cable.
Yeah.
They're selling gold-plated fiber optic cable and saying that it gives a better connection. I ask you guys, if you shine a red laser beam against a piece of gold, what will happen? Will it transmit?
Danny is just erupting with laughter here.
Then you have gold and laser beams. That's just an awesome factor. That's worth it.
I mean, it's got to be better if there's gold. Just add gold to everything. I mean, gold cartridges, gold controllers.
Yeah. Gold Wii's, gold PS3's.
It always improves performance if it's gold.
The laser never goes through it. That's the point. It's like, if it goes through it, it would reflect off and it would do nothing. It would never get into the cable.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest one to disprove. and really, there is no difference as long as signal gets from point A to point B. If it's digital, if one side, the error side, knows the correct number of ones and zeros compared to the original, it's exactly like copying an image from your camera to your computer or from your computer to an error part of your computer.
Yep.
It's just a direct copy. There's no actual loss. Now, if you have higher resolutions, like you go to 1440p or 2K, 4K, then you're going to want more bandwidth because there's more data to go across. Or if you have, you know, instead of 256 levels of red or green and blue, maybe 1024 to prevent color banding and all that stuff, then you're going to want better cables.
Yeah, but you just put more gold on it.
It turns out that actually Monster Cable doesn't perform as good as some of the even cheaper brands at loss. It does 1080p, you know, 1.3 spec well, and it does it really well, but when you check the actual bandwidth and you compare it to other cables, some of the other cables actually have better bandwidth and they're cheaper. So it doesn't even do beyond better. It just does what it does well, and you're paying $210 for it in some cases for no reason.
Yeah, so I guess the phrase caveat emptor really applies more and more these days. When everyone's trying to rip you off.
You know what, man? This is America. Why don't you speak American?
Exactly.
Actually, but...
I've been told that before, actually. Believe it or not. Okay, Scott, you got anything else for us?
Not really.
Okay.
See you guys later.
All right. Good times. Thanks for calling. All right. I think Joe is still on. Are you still hanging around?
Absolutely. I was just I was listening to what Scott had to say there. And
this is like the party line tonight. We're just like, we're totally having the party line. Okay, Danny.
What's up?
Maybe we should talk about what you've been up to lately. Because I'm kind of getting tired of talking.
Well, I don't know. I got a lot of stuff going on. Just got back from Disneyland. It was magical. That was good.
Did you get lost?
What?
Did you get lost in Disneyland?
No.
No, because it's such a well...
I got lost in the magic.
I assume you don't
want to hear about Disneyland, because this is a Chatterbox game show.
You know what? It's open line Friday, okay. Even though it's Tuesday night.
Well, on the game front, still working on Super Meat Boy. It's working out really well. We got some really good coverage. Had a preview from IGN. You know, we're on the list of... IGN did the top 10 most anticipated PC games of 2010, and we're on that list.
Super Meat Boy.
With StarCraft II and Star Trek Online.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So if you can remind our readers about what the hell Super Meat Boy really is.
Super Meat Boy is the greatest game made by humans in the history of humanity. It's a throwback to, like, 2D platformers. Ed and Tommy, they say it's, like, super hard. You know, it is.
Better than Duke Nukem Forever?
Oh, yeah. Whatever. We're not going into that. But no, it is really hard, but it is also, like, the regular levels are pretty accessible, and, you know, anyone can play them. But it's really 2D platforming boiled down to its most essential, awesome components. And, you know, just doing more music for that. That's coming out for Wii and Steam on PC and stuff, and then...
Do we have a release date? Anything like that to look
forward
to?
Quarter one, okay. 2010.
Sounds
but
good.
But then Cannonball on the iPhone is still going strong. We just did a update where I put a new music track into it. It's a lot more.
Extra music.
Yeah, another music track you can choose. It's a lot more orchestral and swashbuckly and adventurous and, and then I got... just a lot of other little projects I'm working on here and there. Some that, you know, are just not even in the beginning phases yet. But, yeah, just trying to keep up. I don't know if last time I was here I had landed this, but I'm doing music for a web series with Judd Nelson and Tracy Lords.
Wow, that's an interesting combination.
Yeah. It's
Judd Nelson. Isn't that...
Breakfast Club.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm doing with that, and so... it's going to be released online and stuff, and it's good stuff. It's funny. It's fun to do. I mean, chiptunes are good. Chiptunes are a lot of fun, but every once in a while, it's good to go back to my roots and, you know, raise the orchestra.
You know, I heard a few things about the Tracy Lords a while ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was interesting because she...
it's getting sexy time in here.
Yeah, well, she got into the industry very early, right? Yeah. Very, very early, and I don't even remember where I read this from, but I heard reports that she was actually underage when she started, and nobody knew because she said that she was overage, right? And she actually...
Well, now she's overage.
Well, obviously now she's overage, right? But that her behavior, right? Like, she was such a sexual dynamo on stage that she fooled everybody.
I don't know how to respond to that.
So there's sometimes things need no response.
But you know that Cannonball's a ripoff of Assassin's Creed?
Ooh. Okay, that's a new one. That's a new one to me.
Yeah.
All right, so we got half the show left. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Bye.
To me, Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Das.
And we're back.
Cube.
Again, Chatterbox, Video Game Radio.
Das Cube.
All right, so what the heck is Das Cube?
Ow!
Is it German?
Das Cube is a new iPhone game that I did music for. It was released, but it had some bugs or something. It had to be resubmitted. I don't know if it's back up yet, but if it isn't, it'll be back up soon. It is a physics kind of puzzle game where you push this little ball around and the... boxes hit each other and explode, and it's, you know, it's fun. It's good stuff.
So did you know that Das Cube means the cube in German?
Yes.
Okay. We've got another call. Adam from Austria. No, I'm sorry, that's Austin.
What?
Adam from Austin?
What?
What's going on, Adam?
Not much. Just hanging out.
All right.
Oh, it's Adam. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay, this must be Adam Atomic.
This is.
And this is Adam Atomic of Cannibalt fame, is it not?
Fame, fortune, glory, etc.
I'd say more infamy.
That works too.
With certain groups of people, yeah.
So Frida?
I'm a price fixer. Did you know I'm a price fixer, RN?
You're a price fixer?
Yeah.
Well, at least you have a legitimate product, and you don't, do comparisons like Monster Cable does.
And, we'd be making a lot more money if we weren't paying so many people to give us good reviews.
Yeah.
That's always a problem.
The sheer quantity of show reviews that we've had to pay for would stagger the imagination if we ever shared that information.
Yeah.
All right, so Danny tells me that you're going to announce something.
No.
I am not.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, so this is like improbable string of events for Danny's like, hey, I'm on the radio, you should listen. Oh, hey, you should call in. Oh, hey, since you're calling in, you should announce this thing if you didn't even prototype to make sure it
worked. All I did was told Ara that I was going to ask you. I didn't say, hey, we're going to have a big old announcement here.
Yeah, but I figured I'd just up the ante and just move it up to crisis level immediately.
Well, whatever.
All right, so Adam, actually, maybe you can talk about this topic we're going to talk about with us. I think that maybe you'll have some insight, and maybe you won't, and then that'll be lame, but hopefully you will.
Sure.
Good setup, Ara.
So that's why I get paid the big bucks here, guys.
Yeah. All right, everybody, get ready for some lame content.
Only the best radio here at the Chatterbox. All right, so Wired did an article about Duke Nukem Forever.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And the article is phenomenal because this game was in production for 12 years.
More like George Luzard.
And
I've never actually made a game that took longer than 12 days.
This is so this is why you are uniquely qualified to comment on this issue, Adam. So let me give a little bit of background spiel before we really get into it. But
sure.
Duke Nukem, right? It came out when did it come out? It came out in 1996. Okay, mind you, 1996. Okay, what's around during 1996? Windows 95, Toy Story, Xbox. No, not even the Xbox was around.
One was out.
What was that, Adam?
I was trying to remember if the PlayStation 1 was out yet.
I think maybe the PS1 was out.
I just did a quick calculation. I think it's interesting to note that in the time they were developing Duke Nukem Forever, Adam Atomic could have made 365 games.
There you go. But you didn't make 365 games, Adam.
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. I guess I was in high school.
No excuses for this laziness.
He was working on life, okay?
All right, so the funny thing is through the years, right, there were, all of these media stories every once in a while, Duke Nukem Forever, haha, it's taking forever to come out. Oh, here's some more press about it. Oh, it's the game that's taking forever to come out, right? All this stuff. And yeah. I've always just glazed over those stories. I was just like, okay, whatever, right? I've never actually paid attention to what was going on until this Wired story, where apparently what happened was this past May, they actually officially finally, right now, did they finish? No, they ceased production because they couldn't finish. And it's just this really, really interesting piece where even though the proprietor of the studio, what's the guy's name? George Broussard. Was it George? Yep. George Broussard refused to give any kind of, press or interviews about it, but apparently there were a sufficient number of ex-employees who decided to anonymously say what the heck was going on there, which apparently not a whole lot of game development because they worked on something for 12 years and nothing came out. Now, I've experienced this to a much, much smaller degree. I've been on projects that I worked on for years.
Red Star Forever?
Not Red Star Forever. Red Star was great because I worked on it for 1 year and we finished it.
Never, right?
Yeah, and it was almost never because it almost didn't come out, and actually one of the versions actually.
Good job, Adam. R is cutting himself.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot, you big jerk. All right, so no, but I've been on other projects that were never announced, never came out, that were around for years, and I've seen how something can, under the right circumstances, just degenerate into nothing being accomplished for years, as hard as that is to believe. Now, 12 years? That's like, I mean, that is a feat. That is a feat of which I have no explanation or insight. But I don't know, maybe you have something interesting to say about this, Adam.
Well, to me, like, it's just, like, zero surprise. Like, how many people do you know that actually like to finish projects? Like, what is in it for you psychologically when you finish a project? A, you have nothing to look forward to for working on the project anymore because it's done. B, you actually have consequences now. Like, you know, it's going to be judged. You know, decisions are going to be made. People are going to like it or not like it. And it's grunt work. I mean, polish, there's nothing, you know, thrilling or, you know, personally rewarding about polishing a game most of the time. It's just like, you know, getting every, you know, possible kink or bump out of the thing so that it impresses people. Like, it's, I find it personally to be like a demoralizing and brutal process. Like, I mean, polishing Cannonball, like, wouldn't have even happened if, you know, friends weren't playing it and Danny wasn't writing music for it. If we weren't, like, polishing while producing it, it wouldn't have gotten polished.
Now, that's interesting to hear you say that, because I actually have a completely different perspective.
Just to keep things in perspective, I can't stand polishing for a day.
Yeah, see, that's funny, because
Sukum would have taken a year to polish.
Yeah,
easily.
I actually like that stuff. There's something about, I mean, with any game, if you want to actually finish it, right, there's a lot of menial work involved of, you know, oh, I got to go through all these levels and do the same one thing to all of them and spend 12 hours, you know, doing this one thing over and over again. There's a lot of that type of thing, which is, I think, what you're referring to, right?
Well, and I mean, I do small things, so I do all the testing. So, I mean, finishing a project for me means QA.
Right, right. And then there's that part. But there's I don't know, to me, actually, I hate to be completely contradictory to what you said, but
no, I think that's good.
That's actually the most satisfying thing to me, because even though there's a really huge menial phase, it's a necessity to get something to a state that it couldn't have gotten to otherwise. And to see it at that point, right? So it's like, it's not the journey that's satisfying, at least that part of the journey, right? It's menial, that part of it. But at the same time, you need it to get to a certain point. And that's the point where, after just like being able to like step back and look at that and be like, yeah, you know, this is really nice now. That's where most of my satisfaction comes in, I think, at least in game development.
I like finishing things because then I don't have any responsibility.
Yeah, well, I want to go back to what Adam said earlier, which is, yeah, it's funny because you can lock yourself into a cycle of avoidance. I'm basically just repeating what you said, where, yeah, if you never finish something, then it is not available for people to criticize and possibly reject it. And I think that's also one of the things that did happen with Duke Nukem Forever. You know, you can't say a game's good or bad until it's done. And if it never gets done, then it can never face that criticism.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's just like a basic perspective thing. Like, you know, probably the one salient, like, reasonable, like, concise thought that I ever got from my old boss was nothing is ever done. No project is ever finished.
Yeah, I always like to say that, especially for video games. It's almost like, particularly for commercial video game endeavors, it's like, we get to work on it until somebody says you have to stop at this point.
Yeah.
And we need to schedule or structure our work around the fact that, okay, this is the point where we're stopping it. And you're right. It never is done. There's no way that you can say this is going to be finally finished. It's just you have to stop now and you have to mitigate that.
Yep. At the same time, I think it's, I mean, just from my perspective, maybe it's not the same thing with game development, but there is a point where you have to tell yourself you're done, even if you think you can improve it. I mean, you have to, with music, right?
Like,
yeah, there's
why not add another instrument? No, why not add another track?
One of my really good friends taught me a lesson a long time ago. Just know when you're done. Know when it's time to just cut it, print it.
Okay, this is, I think we're onto something here. So we got one more segment coming up. We'll be back. Back once again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We have as our guests, we've got Danny Baranowski, music composer of fame, and on the line we've got Adam Atomic, maker of Cannibalt as well. You still with us, Adam?
I am.
Fantastic.
Hey.
All right, so let me do a little bit of housekeeping before we get going again. Our phone number, if you want to call in, 866-536-1100, and you should go to uat.edu if you're interested, and even if you're not, they're our sponsor, so just go there anyway and make them happy because they help us pay our bills. It's a school for video games, so that's what you can do over there. All right, so we were talking about...
Jesus.
You really want to talk about Jesus, don't you?
Mm.
It's, you know that's a swear word in some parts of the world.
Satanic parts?
Possibly.
Mm.
That's what gets Danny excited. No, we were really talking about... Wow, okay. Duke Nukem Forever. See, the... it's so memorable that I just drew a blank and couldn't remember at all.
I'm sure the rum's helping.
So the rum is definitely helping. I do bring a flask with me to every radio show. It's very important. Now,
if it's not pirate radio, you can at least do radio like a pirate.
There you go. There you go. And of course, there has to be some kind of illicit drugs involved. So you're in this place was in Texas, 3D Realms, right? You're in Texas, right? It must be like next door to you, right, Adam?
It's a little up the road.
Did you hear any rumblings about what was going on over at 3D Realms? Do you have, like, any kind of, like, insider info for us about that?
I don't really, you know. Like, I occasionally feel tremors from the Austin scene. But, you know, in a lot of ways, it's so disconnected. Like, it's the, like, id and 3D Realms glory days are so, like, this chapter of Texas game development that... is just completely before my time. Like, I have no, you know, personal connection to it, really.
Gotcha.
So I imagine the 3D Realms studio to be kind of like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
You mean like, just, well...
No one ever comes in.
Yeah, well, it's possible. The funny thing that I noticed about this article that someone made a comment about is there's this picture of the whole staff before they actually shut down the studio. And everyone's really happy. And I'm just trying to... Somebody made a comment about how can they all be this happy?
They probably haven't seen natural sunlight in a few years.
It's... Touché. So,
windows.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I don't know. I wanted to... I was just thinking that... you know, what I was saying earlier about, like, totally understanding, you know, this aversion to finishing projects. Like, you know, I always joke with my friend Ivan that we're, like, professionals at starting things. You know, I have folders and folders. Like, I have two Flash game folders, and the one with unfinished projects is longer than the one with finished projects in it.
Yeah. I think I've definitely experienced that. Like I tell Danny, right? Like I have tons of music pieces that I've started and like one or two that I finished.
Yeah. So like while on some level I understand that, I'm trying to pretend, you know, like I don't have a lot of responsibility. Like my decisions affect my co-founder and his family. And that's about like the extent of my umbrella or my ripples of decision making. I'm trying to imagine being George Broussard and having 20 people under you creating your vision and not throwing them a bone for a decade.
And giving them, what was it? He was giving them lower pay. And the promise for profit sharing when he probably knew it was never going to come out.
Right. Yeah. So here's,
like, you know, even profit sharing aside, like that is even like makes me vastly more uncomfortable. But on a basic level, not letting your people finish up something and ship something for a decade, like.
Well, the part that I wonder about is like, at what point? I mean, it's not even a decade. It's 12 years. You know, I mean.
Year 11, I like, what do you do? You come in on, like, January 1st of year 11. You're like, okay, I know we didn't ship anything for the first 10 years, but we've got it figured out.
Right, now. Like, how many, it's just such an astronomical period of time that I'm just like, where's the point where someone's like, maybe something's terribly wrong about how we're doing this. I mean, like year 7, year 9, year...
That we time sync on, you know, like you were saying about there's this menial task of polish and perfection. And, you know, I've done that for our racing game that we're working on. You know, I think I spent something like 6 weeks just fiddling with basic controls, which is a really long time for me. Like that's like 10 times longer than I've ever spent on anything. Was just trying to get the controls just right.
That's pretty long. But then again, I mean, it's something that you're doing on such an atomic level that, I mean, it's probably pretty important.
Yeah, yeah. And I've talked to friends who did other things, you know, like you find these features of your game where everything rests on the cusp of that feature. You know, I was talking to Andy Nealon, who works on Osmos, and they spent like 5 weeks, I think, working on figuring out how to communicate to players the anticipation of danger. If you play the game, it's all about, you know, you can gobble up circles that are smaller than you, and they change color to let you know if they're safe to eat, essentially. But if you get too small, things can change color, and if you're already headed toward them, they can suddenly be dangerous. So they had to work out a system of how do you communicate to the player that this thing you're heading toward is almost dangerous so that players can make an educated decision. They spent like 5 weeks on it. So, like, on the one hand, I can totally appreciate, you know, bending over backwards and putting absurd amounts of time into things that seem like they don't deserve it in order to get it to feel just right. Like, that counts for a lot.
Well, when
I totally respect that process. But a decade? What?
Yeah.
One of the things
that was just what were they doing that whole time? If there's nothing to show.
Well, I gleaned out of that article that there were many times when basically he didn't want to release it because the tech had aged marginally,
right.
And that he would be releasing a game that wasn't on the top end of technology. But I mean. Not being a game designer, maybe I don't know the specifics of this, but isn't every game that's ever released ever behind the curve?
Unless you're like the first or the second, yeah.
I mean, obviously there's like Crysis where you can just, I mean, I think that has a lot more to do with just, you know.
Yeah,
I think people have done it, but it has to be on a fixed platform. It's almost like by deciding that they were going to do cutting edge PC, that was like signing their own death warrant.
Well, how many PC games have come out in like the last 12 years where it was like it wasn't cutting edge technology, but it was still like impressive and a great game. The thesis or the main point I got out of that article was that the reason Duke Nukem Forever never came out is because George Broussard was just kept chasing technology.
Yeah, well, obviously the guy had a hard on for tech. You know, that's clear. But also, it's almost like a self fulfilling prophecy if you are always starting from scratch whenever a new engine comes out, and then you go license that engine, yeah. Right? It's like if you're just going to license your engine, you're going to, by definition, be behind the curve.
Yeah, like it seems like the last time that on the PC specifically, that people were able to produce stuff with incredible gameplay and incredible technology was Doom and Duke Nukem. And as soon as they rolled over to 3D, as soon as they rolled over to Quake, you either made a tech demo or you made something with really cool gameplay.
Now, I have a hypothesis here. So in many ways, I'm a really gigantic geek. And one of my geeky traits is that I used to read a ton of books about neuroscience and neurology and like that and stuff like that. And there was... There's this one certain kind of neurological defect that some people have that actually makes them unable to make certain decisions when they're faced with, like, a constraint of time, for example, right? Hmm. So I'm wondering, maybe this guy was just actually incapable of making that type of sacrifice for one reason or another. Maybe it was like, you know, you can only have A or B, and he was like, no, I'm going to have A and B.
Yeah, that might just be being human.
So, I don't know.
Can I say one last thing?
Go for it.
Two last things. Play Dirt 2 with a DirectX 11 GPU and your mind will be blown out of your face.
Literally.
And Steam has a wonderful holiday sale going on. You can get Braid for $2.50 and the Eidos collection for $50. Crazy stuff going on there. So do it.
All right. So once again, we find ourselves out of time. Thank you very much, Adam, for calling. Your wonderful guest as ever.
I love you.
Same to you, Danny.
I love you.
We will see you guys next week.
I love you.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.